everybody. Today's just not a great day. It's a fabulous day. I get to do what I do best, and that is talk to my podcast guests. My name is Stu Turley, President and CEO of the Sandstone Group, and I've got a real treat today. I've got not only a doctor, I've got the doctor. He knows more about wellness than most people ever forget in a lifetime. His name's Dr. Chalmers. Dr. Chalmers has got a heck of a following, and his podcast is taking off. Dr. Chalmers Show, Insights to Wellness. Thank you, Dr. Chalmers, for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Chalmers, a little bit of inside baseball for our listeners. I've known you for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, and I've loved your book, Pillars of Wellness. And I mean, I've also was a patient of yours when I had a heart problem and came in and you said, you got to get detoxed. Detox. And I went through your process. I felt a lot better. And I'm a believer in wellness, Dr. Chalmers.
Well, it's the biggest way to go. And it's always funny to me because they always ask me, like, well, what do you mean by wellness? It's the highest quality of life you can have for the longest quantity of time. And so we talk a lot about anti-aging and stuff like that. And people go, well, how much of what you do is anti-aging? And I say, all of it. All the things I do are anti-aging because we're going to do hormones. We're going to clean up your organs. We're going to feed your organs so they're going to be the healthiest they can be for the longest journey of time. So, you know, it's one of those things that oak trees can live hundreds of years, but if you don't feed them right, they die. And so body's the same way, but it's not just, am I going to live to 80? Are you going to enjoy it? If your life sucks from 45 to 80, do you really want to live that long?
No.
So that's the whole premise.
Now, you started out in having your football. In your book, you talk about, you started out when you said, hey, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way. And then I've been able to watch you as you go through this. And it's, you get so passionate on your podcast. You believe, not only do you believe it, you've had so many other people that you've saved, like me, and you had all these other things. You and I were chit-chatting before this, and this disaster that happened up there, for Energy, my podcast listeners, you know, the podcast is Energy Newsbeat. And Energy, we cover the entire gamut of energy. What happens about energy? You haul energy on trains. You haul gas. You haul all kinds of things across the United States. Pipelines are better than trains. And we're going to talk about what is going on, because everybody was saying, how bad is it, Dr. Chalmers? It's 150 long train. There are 50 that were derailed. And then there were 50 with vinyl
chloride.
Thank you. Bless you. And now, what is that? And tell us, how bad is it, Dr. Chalmers?
So a lot of people are familiar with polyvinyl chloride, or PVC. PVC is a resin. It's inert. It's super cool. Your water is fine in PVC pipes. It's great stuff. Right. Vinyl chloride is highly reactive. It's extremely toxic. And just the smallest amount will do all sorts of bad things to you. So we're looking at nervous system issues. It shuts down your body's ability to just function. And then you stop breathing and you die. So if you're in it and you're breathing it, it's pretty toxic from that standpoint. But the biggest thing that we run into, you want to die from this stuff. You don't want to live with it. Because the problem is that this causes all sorts of cancers. It'll actually create what's called osteolysis. Basically, the tips of your fingers, the bones dissolve into nothing. And so you're just with these fleshy flat pads at the ends, damages all kinds of things. It creates a blood vessel damage that is similar to Raynaud's syndrome. So people walk around and it's 100 degrees outside and their hands are freezing cold. This causes that, causes the same thing in the legs. It causes the same thing in the feet.
No, it's good. Okay, I'm frightened right now. And I'm all these miles away. Now, you're talking about the vinyl chloride, right?
Yep. Vinyl chloride, yep.
This thing blew up with 5 full cars.
Yep.
And then they burned it and it went into the air, right?
Yes.
So what you're describing is only in that area. Is that correct? Or is this now?
No. So what happens is that it gets vaporized, but it doesn't burn off. Like, it's not like you're burning it and it's going away. As it comes up in the air, you have all sorts of different things that the fire has now made it into. It is now going to be picked up by the wind and carried all over the place. But here's the problem where it crashed in Ohio is that there's a bunch of river systems that are there that feed into, at the end of the day, the Mississippi. So all of the United States is going to start drinking this stuff soon, but not just the one from Ohio. The one in Arizona that leaks out the nitric acid, that one is also hypertoxic. And that one's going to be blown all over the place as well. So we're all going to get to start dealing with this. And one of the only ways we're going to be able to get it out of the water is with reverse osmosis filtration. And our city systems don't do that.
They won't.
So we're going to all get to either get reverse osmosis for our homes, drink only bottled water, and shower in bottled water, and brush your teeth, and cook your food, and do everything with bottled water. Because this isn't a bacteria that you can boil out of water. This is a chemical that we're going to have to somehow figure out how to pull out. So it's going to be really tough.
I saw the video on Twitter of someone boiling water and it was foam. And they said they can't boil it clean. That makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it depends. The reason that you can boil things out, one, if it's a living organism, boiling water will kill it to a large degree. Most things will die in boiling water. The other side is that, depending on what the melting point or the vapor point of the chemical is, if it's a lower vapor point than water, when you boil it, you make it more concentrated because the water leaves, but the chemical stays. So
smokes.
Yeah, that's the problem. So here's the other issue with that. Let's say that you've got a bunch of water and a little bit of chemical sitting in a tank. As the sun heats that tank and you get natural evaporation, you know what you don't get? You don't get evaporation of the chemical. So it becomes more and more concentrated. So here's the next thing about that. All the food, all the chickens, all the cows, all the grain, all the plants and vegetables, all that stuff is now going to get this stuff raining back down, and literally raining back down with all of the rain. So go ahead.
Does vinyl chloride, when it mixes with water, become hydrochloric acid?
Not necessarily. Okay. However, there's a bunch of hydrogen chloride that is all over the place that can mix with water and become hydrochloric acid. Because the chlorine fraction, all it needs to become hydrochloric acid is hydrogen or water. And so if chlorine gas gets mixed into water, you're going to have hydrochloric acid.
My head just exploded, boss. Holy smokes.
That would be the best option. The best thing that could happen is that it becomes hydrochloric acid, rains down as acid, and is denatured as it hits. That's actually the best thing we could hope for. It'll destroy all cars, buildings, people, animals, but it'll just be done. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is these toxins are going to be swirled around. They're going to rain down.
Right.
They're going to get into all of our food. They're going to get into all of the soil that's now going to be continually growing. One of the reasons that people talk about how nightshades are so bad in this country isn't because nightshades are bad. It's because they're vine grown. And so anything that's sprayed on them, anything that's in the air, so you're talking about eggplants, tomatoes, peppers, right, things like that, they absorb whatever hits the vine. So if this chemical lands on the vine of these type of plants, it's going to be pushed right into the fruit, which is what we eat. So we're about to be in a real bad place food-wise.
The badness is there. We saw the mushroom cloud, Dr. Chalmers. That thing was horrible. I even saw a picture of somebody flying over it. And there was this gigantic, for my podcast listeners, I'm holding my hands up, and there was a dark, hideously dark circle. And then it was white where that plume was going up. I mean,
the upside is that with that fire, we're going to get some denaturation of some of these chemicals. We're going to get some things that are bad, that are worse, that are kicked up. As you oxidize certain things, they get worse. Some of this stuff is going to stay because as it heats up, it's just going to carry it higher. So we're going to have all kinds of different things. It's not just going to be vinyl chloride. It's going to be, you know, heated vinyl chloride. It's going to be mixed with whatever else chemicals were there. Because unless those trucks were just pure vinyl chloride, which they might have been, anything else that was there is going to be mixed in there. If there's diesel fuel, if there's anything else that was burning, we're going to have all these things that are going to be secondary issues. They're going to be even worse.
Four of the other tankers involved in the derailment were carrying at least four other different chemicals. Ethylene glycol, Dr. Chalmers, I went to OSU and you know that. I can't even say this. Ethylene glycol mononucleate ether, lexyl acrylate, and isobutane and butyl accelerate.
Okay, so all those are highly flammable.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the, yeah. So, but I don't know what those chemicals will all mix together if you put them into a fire. And here's the other fun thing about chemistry. If you put certain chemicals into a 300 degree fire, they become something different than a 1,000 degree fire. And so I don't know what that mix is going to burn at. Now, it could possibly have burnt hot enough to destroy some of this stuff. But the problem is just because you, quote unquote, destroyed the chemical doesn't mean you didn't make something more toxic as it comes out.
So them thinking that you can burn your way out of this may not have done anything but make it worse.
Correct. Now, here's the thing. It would have cleaned it up faster. Because what they said was that they set it on fire so that it would clean up faster. You can get the rails going again faster if you burn it all off and carry away the charred and don't have to deal with the mixture. But one of the other ones, like nitric acid is very, very flammable. And when you burn it, it becomes nitric monoxide, which is highly deadly if you breathe it. So this is the Arizona one. And the biggest problem with these is that the safe level to breathe nitric acid is below where you can smell it. So there's a gap where, for instance, the what they call the 10-minute AEGL is 0.16 parts per million. You can't smell it at that level. So there's a point where it's between safe and super bad for you, where you can't even smell it. So it's going to be bad, but you can't smell it. And you're going to be breathing it for however long you're around.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that one causes respiratory issues as well, cardiovascular function, all sorts of things. So both of these are not good chemicals to be around, and they're not good in very small quantities, very small. So
from a health perspective, what can Palestine is only 5,000 people, but this is going to 15 states is what I'm hearing.
Yep. Yeah. You're going to see, depending on where the wind blows, this is going to be blown over a lot of people. And we're going to see, you know, liver cancer is a really big one with some of these things. And so that's going to be the biggest thing that you're kind of going to notice is that the cancers and things like that are going to go up. So that's going to be the problem.
It's a big carcinogen. All of those are carcinogens, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Wow. Now, when you're doing a TED talk next week, right?
Correct. Correct.
What are you talking about on the TED Talk?
It is my opinion, and with research that I've personally done and research that we have all over the place, that we can take a massive dent into the opioid epidemic that we have right now if we use cannabis as a pain relief. If we replace opioids with cannabis, we can greatly reduce addiction and death. And so that's what my TED Talk is about.
Well, after you get cancer after this train wreck, you're going to need pain relief.
That's fact.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're talking about with that, because we have the border crisis, we have fentanyl coming in, we have opioids, overprescription. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the opioids while I got you during your time here. Let us know what opioid addiction problems are and how do you think this is going to solve it?
Well, the problem with the opioid issue is that the politicians wanted to throw it back on the doctors. And all right. You know, who's writing the scripts? Well, the doctors are. But guess what? Right. It's the only thing we got. Right now, opioids are your choice. If you're hurting, you kind of got an opioid and not a whole lot of other options.
Right.
So we're going to have to come up with another option. My option is cannabis because it doesn't kill you. You can't OD on it.
Right.
It's not really addictive. It's always funny to read the research. You're like, people were totally addicted. How'd you? Well, we asked them if they wanted to do it again, and they said yes. I'm like, well, that's not addiction. That's holy shit. I didn't have any anxiety. I didn't have any stress. I felt awesome. My joints quit hurting. Yeah, I want to do that again. Yeah, that's why everybody likes it. But yeah,
you know, that's like me when I get hit when I'm doing the blacksmith or something. I hit my hand on the hammer and I hit my thumb. Yeah. You want to do it again? Yeah. No, I'm that's dumb.
Yeah. So I was talking to one of my buddies who is who's a medic, and now he works on addiction issues. And I was like, what do you think about cannabis being addictive? And he was like, it's not. And I go, why do you say that? And what he actually said was, no one sucks dick for cannabis.
Nice.
And I was like, fair. Yeah. Cause meth, cocaine, crack, heroin, all the other things, you don't care about anything. You'll do whatever it takes to get it. And nobody likes cannabis that much. And so I was like, that's fair. That's fair. So, but yeah.
Hunter was more into, I mean, he probably liked it, cannabis, but he also did other things, right?
Oh, Biden? Yeah. Yeah, he is the epitome of hold my beer, I'll try anything. So
right. Okay, got it. I was just checking on that one.
Yeah.
On cannabis though, because I don't know the laws. Oklahoma's about to vote on some stuff, possibly. What's going to go on there?
Oklahoma is going to vote on March 7th to go recreational. I hope they get it. I hope I can get my TED talk out to the guys in Oklahoma so that they can, they can see it. Because if they, I think that if people understood the gravity of what was going on and how good cannabis is, I gave it to my son when he had surgery, my 10-year-old, because I didn't want him to have the opioids, and it worked perfectly. He didn't get high. Everything was fine. So
no, whoa. How did you dispense that to him? Cause I'm a neophyte, and you know, all I see is what I've been told. And that is, you're going to die. You're going to become, you're going to grow a hump on your back. You're going to just, you know, you're going to be evil, you know, and it's like, ooh, you're a pothead. That's not what you're saying.
No. So there's, you can smoke the, what we call the flower. You can smoke flower, they can vape it. But the way that we're dispensing it is we're using what's called a sublingual strip. And so you stick it in your mouth and your tongue and your cheek, and it dissolves into the bloodstream. And as it dissolves into the bloodstream, it delivers everything much, much, much faster.
Is that like a Listerine strip that I used?
Yeah. It looks exactly like a Listerine strip. Okay. So yeah. And so that's what we're using. And it will go in, and you can start, you know, utilizing the effects within 10 minutes. So okay.
Now what did your son have an operation on? Cause people are going to yell at me for, you know, saying, hey, wait a minute, I did that to my son. Tell us about that. I'm curious about that.
So he had a plate and 6 screws removed from his arm, and they gave him Norco, which is hydrocodone and acetaminophen. And I just didn't want him to take the opioids. And so I cut the strip up into a small piece, because the cool thing with the strips is that you can dose them. If 10 milligrams is too much, if you cut it in half, you get exactly 5 and 5. You can't do that with gummies or anything else, but you can do this with the strips. And so we cut it up into small pieces so that he would have, you know, just enough for the pain to go away. And he'd stick it in his mouth, you know, suck on it for 2 seconds. And then, like he said, 10 minutes later, he'd tell me, hey, Dad, my arm hurts. And I'd give him a small piece. And 10 minutes later, he'd be like, all right. And he'd go back to reading. And he was fine. So this is Oh yeah. Now I've used it. So my mom broke her sternum. My 70-year-old mom broke her sternum in a car wreck. All I gave her were the strips. And the funny thing is, she goes, not only does it make my pain go away, but it helps relax me. And so it helps me breathe. Because remember, if you break your sternum, you can't breathe. Every breath you take, your ribs have to move. So your sternum's broken, it hurts to breathe. And so that was a big piece. My office manager, my personal assistant, she broke her toe moving boxes. We gave some to her. I've used it for herniated discs. We've given it to people for migraines. It's knocked all this stuff out.
Okay. No addiction. It's controllable from a standpoint of accurate dosing.
Yep.
From a medical standpoint, you got my curiosity up, because if you can pull this off, how many lives would we save by getting rid of the opioid addiction, and it also clean up society without having the cartels bringing all this in or having that kind of stuff?
Well, so what we're looking
at, get people off of opioids and that, how do you do that?
Well, so the research shows that 64% of the time you can replace opioids with cannabis and have zero loss in pain modulation. So basically 64% of the time I give you cannabis instead of opioids, you don't know the difference. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
That's pretty solid. So we can just start giving these people strips. Now, the fun thing is that if you mix a little bit of cannabis with a little tiny bit of opioids, it greatly increases the strength of the opioid, but doesn't give you any of the addiction or death issues. So we can actually take these strips and put a little bit of cannabis and a little bit of opioids on them, and we're good. And so there's a lot of fun that we could start doing with this if we would just decide that it's going to be somewhat legal, like legal for medical purposes.
Right. Now, this sounds too good to be true, Dr. Chalmers.
I know. The fact that we've had this and we've been pushing against it for 50 years, 60 years. However, right. It's been the solution to our opioid epidemic. I don't know how we've gotten to the point where we forgot this.
Is it big pharma?
You know, I don't know. Maybe. But the fun thing is that our strips are patentable. And so, because you can't patent a naturally occurring substance, you can't patent cannabis, but you can patent the strips it goes on. And if the opioid guys would be like, hey, look, I'll buy your strips from you and we'll just quit doing this. Great. You guys make money. Nobody else dies. Everybody's happy. And so
the state income tax, I really like this from a goodness standpoint. Opioid addiction is terrible. We got to do everything we can to help addicts.
Right now on the addiction function, we are adding 21,000 people per month, every month, to the people who are addicted. Even though we're losing, like in 2020, we lost 70,000 people die from opioid overdose, but we're still increasing the addiction numbers by 21,000 a month. So this problem is not only not going away, it's getting a lot worse.
Wow. What are your next, because this is huge, Dr. Chalmers. What are your next steps on getting, you got the TED Talk, and that's what this is covering.
That, yes. So the TED Talk's going to be specifically about this. We got to get that pushed out to as many people as can see it, because I really think what's going to happen is I really think there's a lot of people who are 40, 50, 60, 70 who have changed their minds on cannabis, but the politicians don't know that. And so they're too scared. Oh. They're too scared to have a vote. They're too scared to say we should or we shouldn't. And so hopefully we can start a conversation and be like, look, you know what? A group of us don't like cannabis, but we like it a lot more than we like addiction and death from opioid. And so if we just go, look, I'm not asking about, can we go smoke this on a Friday night? I'm asking, can the doctors prescribe cannabis instead of or along with opioids? Are we all cool with that? And if we're like, you know what? Yeah. Anything to decrease the addiction and death, I'm cool with. Great. That's the next step I need the country to do. Decriminalize it. Here's the thing about decriminalization. I'm not saying it's legal. I'm just not saying it's illegal. What that allows us to do is we can now use banks to certify all these things and use credit cards and stuff like that, but we can also ship stuff across state lines. Just because it's legal in state A and legal in state B and they touch each other, you still can't cross the border because the border is federally controlled. So because it's federally illegal, you cannot do that. And so we need to get decriminalized so we get rid of all that. And then just be like, look, from a country standpoint, we can do this for medicine. Let's start there. I don't want to talk about rec. Let's just start right there. The doctors can prescribe this instead of opioids. In fact, we can give you a cannabis prescription. And if you're like, hey man, that didn't work, we can then send you the opioids. Like, I don't have a problem with doing the opioids as long as we tried everything else first. I don't want people to hurt, but I don't want them to get addicted and die. So we got to, what's the worst thing? Opioids are worse than everything.
Self-medication with alcohol is not good either.
Correct. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, alcohol is legal, but what you're telling me is that cannabis is less impactful on the body.
100%. So here's the fun thing about this. Mm-hmm. The way that alcohol and opioids both work is they have receptor sites in the brain on what's called the pons. The pons is responsible for autonomic nervous system. It's the reason we breathe when we fall asleep. It's the reason we breathe when we're not thinking about it. Well, alcohol and opioids shut that off. And so you just stop breathing. So if you pass out, if you go to sleep, you just stop breathing and you die. And so that's what opioids and alcohol both do. There are no receptors in the pons for cannabis. So that's why people smoke crazy amounts of cannabis and they never die. That's why you can't overdose on cannabis. That's one of the major reasons. So it's a much, 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 much safer option to start with than anything else we've got currently at the moment.
All right. Again, I don't know anything about it, so I think you can tell I'm kind of curious by this discussion. It's fascinating. Dr. Chalmers, your book, in fact, I think you need to write a second edition because there's so much that has gone on in the world right now. I think your Pillars of Wellness was an Amazon bestseller.
Yep.
It's a good read, and the content is going to be in the bottom, but how can we get you to write a second edition with this chapter in it, with these other things in there?
So here's the problem we are right now. Between writing the book and getting it published was about 8 months.
Right.
In 8 months, too much stuff transpires. And so what I'm going to try to do is do more eBooks, or, you know, I'll throw everything on my Substack. That type of stuff. So, like, if I find something, I don't want to wait 8 months for Google to find out about it. Like, it took me 4 months. It took me 4 months to figure out how to fix COVID. People still don't know how to do it. So I'd like to be able to get stuff out as soon as we can. Go ahead.
I want to give you a shout out. I've had COVID 3 times, and your Dr. Chalmers mix of stuff is phenomenal. I mean, I walked in and Dr. Chalmers give it to my wife. She brings it home. Second time I had it, first time it was terrible. I didn't have your concoction in your special formula and all your vitamins and everything else. Second time I was down for a day.
Yeah.
I felt bad. Yeah, it was bad. And the third time I got it, I was like, where's Dr. Chalmers' formula? You know, so I had my wife come get it. It is an amazing. Tell us about that.
Well, so the biggest issue is that COVID is not a respiratory issue. It's a vascular issue. So what ends up happening is COVID actually activates the renin angiotensin aldosterone system, which causes massive vasoconstriction in the kidneys, heart, lung, and brain, which is, if you look at everything, everybody's having heart attacks and strokes and stuff like that. That's why. And so wow. it'll squeeze these blood vessels down so much that it can no longer carry oxygen, the proper blood flow. It can't get waste out. And so what you do is you use straight quinine, not hydroxychloroquine, but straight quinine to knock the spike protein off the ACE2 receptor site, allowing the blood vessels to dilate back out and then carry oxygen. What I do in the office is we'll also put people in the hyperbaric chamber because I can increase oxygen to the tissue by 1,000% with that. The problem with COVID is that these people could breathe just fine. The reason that people died when they got put on ventilators is because they could breathe just fine. Ventilators help you breathe. They're good for pneumonia, bad for COVID. They should have put those people in a hyperbaric chamber because it wasn't that the fuel tank wasn't getting full of gas. The engine wasn't getting it. If you have a full fuel tank and the engine doesn't get gas, the first thing you look at is the pipe, which is in this case, the blood vessel. And that's where the problem is.
Wow. The bottle that you recommend. Now, when I was there and you told me about the bottle that I'm buying, because the receptors for COVID are destroyed. I don't remember how you phrased this. And so help me articulate this. The quinine, the bottle that I'm buying has made me feel a lot better. The monthly regimen. Tell us what that is, because that's critical.
Well, so here's the other piece. COVID doesn't go away like a full flu or a cold. It will come back every time your immune system drops. So it's much similar to herpes, because once you get herpes, you got it. And like fever, blisters, cold sores, things like that. And then whenever it is you get sick and your immune system drops, it presents itself. Same thing with COVID. So as you're everything's great, I feel fantastic. And you get a little bit sick, a sinus infection, a cold, something like that, and it pops back up. And people are like, man, this flu is kicking my ass. I don't know why this flu is so much worse than normal, because it's flu and COVID. Yeah.
I wonder why I was feeling so much better. I mean, just as a normal health, I take your vitamins recommended, your whole thing. And so not only am I your biggest cheerleader out here, I mean, what is it? The hair care? I mean, I need the hair care guys, and I'm a customer as well too.
Whatever.
Well, Dr. Chalmers, we're just about out of time. You've got the TED Talk coming up. You've got your eBooks. How do people get a hold of you on your Substack or your social media? Tell us about what
you have there. All my social media is Dr. Chalmers 1. You can just search for the Substack, Dr. Chalmers. You can do that one. And then the podcast is Wellness Insights, Dr. Chalmers. You can pull up any of those. And so, the Amazon book, the Kindle book, which is I recommend, that one's like, I think, 99 cents. I wanted to keep it as cheap as possible so you can just get the information. So that's the best way.
And one of the things I really enjoy is you've always on your podcast had questions at chalmerswellness.com.
Yes.
And I've had other people, and I want to also give a shout out. Infamous, I guess. I knew somebody in the Philippines and they met a doctor that knew you. I mean, they actually went to a chiropractor. So that's pretty darn cool that you're known worldwide. So
yeah, it's getting fun. So
all right, Dr. Chalmers, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely, sir. Have a good one.